of chapter 10, beginning in verse 36. A few weeks ago, you and I considered the scripture, a leper came to Jesus. I want to look this morning about a blind man who came to Jesus. The amazing thing is, in this incident, is how this story ends. And that's what I want to mainly dwell upon this morning. I don't want to look at this verse by verse, but I want to look at it just a little differently this morning. And let's read this account in Mark chapter 10, beginning here in verse 46. Speaking of the Lord Jesus and His disciples, they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. That's amazing ending to that incident. He followed Jesus in the way. That's amazing because we've just read the beginning of this incident. A blind man that could see nothing. And yet the story ends by saying he followed Jesus in the way. How could he know the way? He was a blind man. Not anymore he wasn't. He followed Jesus in the way. That's the amazing thing about this. He was a blind man. But here now he is with full sight following Jesus in the way. Blind Bartimaeus is the way the Holy Spirit identifies him here. Blind Bartimaeus. I'm amazed, and you probably are too, as you consider the Gospels, that the amount of people, the sheer multitude of people that were terribly diseased in the time that our Lord Jesus was upon this earth. For 3.5 years in His ministry, how often do we read that He healed the multitudes? It's amazing to me as I read that. Listen to some of these places. He cured many of their infirmities, their diseases. Many. He healed many of their plagues. He cast out evil spirits out of many that were possessed. Many that were blind, He gave sight. Great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all. You remember the occasion in John's Gospel about the pool of Bethesda and what was said about that large pool, that a great multitude of impotent folks, the blind and the crippled and the halt and the withered, a multitude of people that were suffering these horrible diseases in the day that the Lord Jesus was upon this earth. And it wasn't something that had come on this nation suddenly. We've got record that the Lord healed people who had been sick and crippled and diseased most of their life, and some of them all of their life. You remember the woman that was bent double and could in no wise lift up herself? She couldn't look anyone in the eye. She had been like that for 18 years. That woman had lived that way. The man that was born blind, we don't know how old he was, but the scripture says his parents said that he's a grown man. He's of age. I don't know how old he was, but he had been that way for years. The man that the Lord gave his sight to or healed him, there by the pool of Bethesda, 38 years. For some reason or another, and I think we know the reason, at least one of the reasons, the Lord had pulled his hand. God, who controls diseases and who heals diseases, had pulled his hand back and let this little country, Israel, be terribly afflicted with multitudes of devastating illnesses and diseases. Why did he do that? One of the reasons I think we have written here in the gospel, it was prophesied that the Lord Jesus would heal multitudes of these people. It happened to fulfill the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5 and 6. Listen to this. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Now I know that has a spiritual application, but it has a natural and physical application too. It prophesied of the coming of the Son of God into this world, and that he would cause the dumb to speak, the halt to leap like a hart, the blind to see, and the deaf to hear. You remember when John was in prison, John the Baptist, and he fell into doubt of where Jesus was the true Messiah. You say, I'll never doubt. Be careful. Be careful. And he sent his disciples to the Lord Jesus and said, you go ask him, are you the one that we're looking for, or should we expect another? And the Lord Jesus set them down there, and he healed the blind. He made the deaf to hear. He healed the lame, cleansed the leper, raised the dead. And he said, now you go tell John all things that you've seen and heard. And when they went back and told John what the Lord Jesus was doing, he had to remember, this is what was prophesied. This is one of the reasons that Israel as a whole is so devastated with all these diseases. It has a purpose in it, that the Son of God might be glorified, and that God might be glorified in him. A blind man came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. I like that. I like to think about that, because I've come to Jesus myself. And some of you have come to Jesus. And we rejoice in one another, don't we? When we think that we've come to him. And we long to see others come to him. And when we read in the scriptures statement like this, he came to Jesus, it rejoices our hearts. Because we can relate to that. A man coming to Jesus. My intentions this morning, brothers and sisters, in looking at this passage, is not only that my heart might be filled with joy in seeing this man come to him, but give you some instructions and to give you some comfort and encouragement. You here this morning that haven't come to him, maybe this will encourage you to come. Those who have never come to the Lord Jesus, one of the reasons this morning that I want to preach from this passage is encourage you to come. Maybe those who have been thinking about coming, I want to instruct you to come. Maybe those who have tried to come and they're discouraged in coming, I want to encourage you from this passage. Maybe those who desire to come and want to come but don't know how to come, I want to encourage you and instruct you from this passage. Now, you and I could spiritualize this morning. I could preach from this and spiritualize it. I could do that. But I don't want to do that. I could say, and it would be all right to do this, to go through here and say Jesus came to Jericho, and I could tell you that Jericho was a cursed city. And you remember Joshua chapter 6, that it was cursed and overthrown. And I could tell you, here's a city that was cursed. And we could spiritualize that. And say, here's a blind man living in a cursed city, and he had to escape this cursed city or die in it. And we could spiritualize that and probably get some good out of that. And we could say, Jesus Christ came to this cursed city. He came to this cursed earth and was made a curse for us. But I don't want to do that this morning. There's a time for it, and we could profit in it. But I want to look at this morning without spiritualizing it at all. I want to look at it realistically. I want to look at it just as it happened. Physically happened. Here was a real man who had a real need, and he actually came to the Lord Jesus Christ and followed Him in the way. And I think if we'll just look at this, it will instruct us and profit us this morning. And I want to concentrate this morning on one thing. Just one thing. People who have never thought about coming to the Lord, people who want to come to Him, people who are discouraged from coming to Him, that's what I want to deal with this morning. I want to look at some negative aspects. I say that because the way this incident ended, he followed Jesus in the way. But I tell you what, it wasn't that easy to get to Jesus. There were some negative things that happened, was present, that hindered him. And that's what I want to look at this morning. There's always things in our life. There's things in my life. There's thoughts I have. There's circumstances I face that discourage me, even to this very day, from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. To seek the salvation and the well-being of my soul. You see that in yourself, don't you? Let's look at this then. The first thing, and I want to give you some negative things here, found in verse 46. That's what I want to concentrate mainly on this morning. Here's the first negative thing about this man coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Bruce, I tried to come to Him. I want to come to Him. I desire to come to Him, and I'm having problems. Well, here's another man had problems. But you can be encouraged in this. The story ends by him following Jesus in the way. He had problems too. And here is the first negative. Here is the first negative. It's found here in verse 46. And I want to take them in order from verse 46. And the first thing is this. Barnabas had a very, very narrow window of opportunity in which he could come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that? A very, very narrow window of opportunity. We find that here in verse 46. Look what he says. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho. The Lord Jesus was always moving. He never settled down any place. Two or three times in the gospel, we read that he came to Jericho, but he never stopped. We read that he came into Jericho, he went through Jericho, and went out of Jericho. But we never read that he stopped in Jericho. The longest he ever was in that place was when he stood still and called this blind man. He never settled down in Jericho. And blind Bartimaeus lived in Jericho. And him being a blind man, he probably never ventured very far out of that city. And what I'm saying is this. If this man was to ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he must come now. Because Jesus was passing through. He was on his way as he went. See there? Blind Bartimaeus was here where he lived. But Jesus was on his way. He wasn't stopping. So therefore I say his opportunity of coming to the Lord was a present opportunity. As he went. Can you and I say, and be honest in saying it, could not we conclude this morning from this, that blind Bartimaeus must come to the Lord now, or he indeed may never come at all. If he does not take advantage of this opportunity, he may never get another opportunity. Could we not say that? Because the Scripture says here, as he went. Now, somebody will say, and I can almost hear some people say it, Bruce, how in the world does this fit into your folks' system of theology? We heard you preach a few weeks ago, and you folks are always quoting and teaching and preaching from John 6:37. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me. And here you talk about a narrow window of opportunity. You need to get your system of theology and stick with it. You're so inconsistent. Ain't that what people teach us, tell us, and accuse us of? Well, when we preach from John 6:37, we preach that. And we believe that. They shall come. But when we come here and preach from this, we preach this also. And if there's any inconsistencies in it, people have to take that up with God. I tried to get a system of theology one time. I really did. I looked up system in my concordance and I couldn't find it. I looked up theology and I couldn't find it. And I just come to the conclusion, I better leave the systems of theology to those that have some wisdom about those things. And what I better do, being as dumb as I am, I better stay in the book. And what I find in this place, I'll preach that. And what I find over here in this place, I'll preach this. And here we find a man in a most dreadful condition. He's a blind man, and he's a beggar, and he's going to die there if he cannot get to the Savior, the only one who can deliver him. But we find him in this predicament. The Savior is passing him by. He's not stopping. He don't live where blind Bartimaeus lived. And it's therefore now or never. And I would plead my case this morning by saying this. I say it's a narrow window of opportunity, and he must come now and ever, but if you would ask him, what would he tell you? You feel it in this man that it's now or never. You feel the anxiety that's in him. Because as soon as he hears that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by, what does he do? Does he say, I think I'll wait until tomorrow? He doesn't say that. He immediately knows that in just a few moments, the Lord Jesus is going to be gone. So what does he do? He begins to cry, it's now or never. It's now or never. Lord Jesus, O thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Stop and have mercy on me. Have mercy. He felt that. Why do we even emphasize this? Why do we emphasize this? And why do we call this a negative? Well, we emphasize it for this reason. It's so. It's so. There have been a lot of people who have missed their opportunity. The Lord Jesus spoke to the nation of Israel and said, "How often I would have taken you under my wings as a mother hen takes her little chickens, and you would not. And now your house is left unto you desolate." It's the truth, brothers and sisters. It's a living reality this morning that if you're at all concerned about your soul, if you're concerned about being saved, being right with God, having your sins washed away, it may be now or never. Why don't we tell young people, young teenage people, why don't we tell them to go ahead and sow their oats? Get this out of your system. Go ahead and live and disobey your parents and don't worry about seeking the Lord. You've got plenty of time for that. Why don't we tell them that? It's not so. It's just not so. You and I have known carloads of teenagers who were suddenly taken out of this world. Why don't we tell a man and his wife to go ahead and have your children? Go ahead and work hard and lay something up for retirement and take your vacation every year or two and enjoy life and enjoy your family. And when you're retired and after you lived in retirement for a few years, then think about seeking the Lord. Why don't we tell them that? We had a couple that used to sit right over there. I remember them well. Lynn and Jean remembers them well. They went on a vacation and never came back. You remember them? It's a reality, brothers and sisters. There was a lot of people, teenagers and middle-aged people, that have had opportunities that sat under the gospel. But it was a narrow, narrow window of opportunity. I say coming to the Lord Jesus is an opportunity. And it is a gracious opportunity. If the Lord of glory visits you, it's a gracious visit, but it may be a short visit. He owes us nothing. Be as anxious about this as Bartimaeus was. That's what I'm saying. Be as anxious about coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as Bartimaeus was. Are you here this morning and you're lost without the Lord? Be anxious about this. This morning may be the only opportunity and your last opportunity. Say with dear Fanny Crosby, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. What on others you're calling? Don't pass me by." And here's the fearful thing about it. This morning, while I'm preaching, and while you're sitting, maybe the last opportunity you have to call. Jesus, as He went. I think it would be presumptuous on our part to think the Lord Jesus Christ healed every blind man in Jericho. I doubt that seriously. As far as I know, since it's not recorded in the Scripture, most blind men in this city died blind. Jesus did not live there. He did not settle down there. He was not there alone. Here was a blind man who had just a short window of opportunity to come to the Lord. Use this as a cowboy would use his spur. I used to ride a lot of horses. And I've had some horses that you either had to spur them or whip them to get them to go. Let this be a spur to you this morning. Let this be a whip on your naked legs for you to come to Christ. Get this in your heart. I've got to come now. Now is the accepted time. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. Now, if that won't fit into our system of theology, that's all right. That's all right. We don't need a system, do we? We don't need a system. Secondly, here's something else. Here's something else. Here's something to hinder this man. It's found there in verse 46. A great number of people went with him. There was his disciples and a multitude of people all around the Lord Jesus Christ. I think you and I sometimes forget how difficult it was physically to approach into Jesus Christ. It was difficult to get to him. He was always thronged by this crowd of people. The four men who brought their friend on a cot to be healed of the Lord. And they got to the door and couldn't get in the house. The house was full of people. They started trying to scrounge through the door. And those people said, "You can't buck the line. Get out of here. Get him out of here." They tried to get him through the window. They couldn't get him through the window. Finally, they had to get up on the house and take up the roof of all things and let him down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. The woman who had the issue of blood, she said, "If I can just touch him, I'll be made whole." But she couldn't get to him. So she had to press her way. She had to press her way to him. Why do I tell you this morning? Because there's always something going to stand in your way. I'm amazed at this, but I've learned to watch for it. But I'm amazed at it. It's happening right now. As soon as somebody professes an interest in spiritual things, as soon as they let it be known that they in some measure are beginning to seek the Lord, almost immediately some calamity comes. Or something will come to interfere with their seeking the welfare of their souls. I'm amazed at that. I see it all the time. Sometimes the things that come up seem so legitimate. There are people that you will invite to service, lost people, and you want them to come to hear the gospel. And things will go well all week long, but it will come Saturday night or Sunday morning, and somebody will get sick or somebody will die. And they can't come. And it's legitimate. At least it seems legitimate. If you're going to seek the Lord, and you're going to seek the welfare of your soul, you need to know this. You're going to have a devil that's going to oppose you all the way. You're going to have a world that's going to tempt you and put the cares and the pleasures right in your way. You've got a nature within you that's going to oppose you. Here was a man who wanted to come to the Lord Jesus, and here was a multitude of people that stood in his way. And when he cried to the Lord to have mercy upon him, what did they do? They said, shut up. Shut up. What if he had listened? What if he had listened? What if he had got so discouraged about it all, he said, I can't get there. This is too great and an obstacle to get over. I might as well just sit down and forget it. What would have happened? There's always things to discourage the Christian. There's always things that will stand in the way of anybody who begins to seek the Lord. Hold your peace. Shut up, they say. At what cost? At what cost? Hold your peace? Hold your peace? Man, it's now or never for me. Hold my peace? Is that for the good of my soul to hold my peace? Whatever standing in your way, dear soul, this morning, for securing the eternal salvation of your soul, you've got to get over it. You've got to get around it. You've got to get through it. And I assure you, there will be many, many things opposing you from doing that. You might as well get ready. I don't mean to discourage you, but we find it in our text this morning. And you'll find it in your experience. Everybody here that's come to the Lord Jesus has experienced some of these things. And thirdly, let's add to this. Let's add to this. He had a narrow window of opportunity. It's now or never. And then he had all this opposition. And then add to this, we're told there that he was a blind man. He was a blind man. Can you imagine the dilemma this man was in? I can almost see him standing there, and he may have thought of this. All he knew was there was a loud commotion going by. He couldn't see anybody. Someone told him it's Jesus of Nazareth, the son of David. Can you almost see him standing there and he's crying out in this direction? And suddenly the thought hits him. You're probably not even crying out in the right direction. Jesus is probably over here. You dumb blind man, you might as well even shut up. You can't see. I tell you, when I was seeking the Lord, I had no idea how to find Him. My spiritual understanding was so darkened, I was as dark in my mind as this man was with his eyesight. And it so discouraged me. But here was a man that was so blind, so truly blind, he had never saw the sunlight, never saw the beautiful trees, his mom and dad, or his siblings. He lived in utter darkness. But here's a great encouragement for you and me. In the end, he received full sight. He was utterly in the dark, but in the end, he received his sight. My dear lost friend, if you have never begun to pray, then begin to pray. If you have never begun to seek the Lord, then begin this morning to seek Him. You may say in yourselves, I don't have any understanding how to seek Him. You mean you can't see? You can't see in your mind how to seek Him. You can't see how to come to Him. Then begin to seek Him. Just like this man did, who was blind, who could not see Him. If the thought comes to you, you're not even crying in the right direction. Then cry on anyway. When your poor mind seems to be so blinded and all around you is dark, seek on, dear soul. cry to the Lord for mercy. And remember this precious promise. Listen to this. Remember this precious promise. I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked places straight. These things will I do, and not forsake them, saith the Lord. There is a precious promise that you can hang on to in your darkness. You may say within your heart, I can't see Him, but He can see you. Isn't that really what's matters? Let that be a comfort to you. Would not that been a comfort to this man? I can't even see him. I don't know if I'm crying in the right direction. But here is what counts. Though you can't see him, he sees you. And though you cannot see your way to him, he can see perfectly how to bring you. Therefore, don't be discouraged. Don't despair. Seek Him. Cry as this man did. Though your understanding is as dark as his was physically, don't be discouraged. Let this encourage you, dear soul. The darkness you now feel, multitudes have felt before. Multitudes who have felt the same darkness that you feel now have yet lived to see the day when they were given light and sight and they followed Jesus in the way. I was talking with someone not long ago. Why don't you come to the Lord? And it almost shocked me when they told me. I don't know how to. I don't know how to. Haven't we all been there? We've all been blind, haven't we? And it's a discouraging thing when you don't know which direction to go in. What do we do? What did this man do? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And our Lord Jesus is such a compassionate, kind, and good Savior. He will not long reject that cry for mercy. He'll give sight. He'll give relief. I said not to the children of Israel, seek ye me in vain. I speak righteousness. I speak the things that are right, saith the Lord. I call these negative things, I don't know if I'm right about that, but they seem negative to me. The things that hindered this man, in a sense. But they're all turned to his advantage and turn them to your advantage. You feel this morning like you have a narrow window? That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Then be anxious about seeking the Lord. You feel this morning that you're hindered from coming to Christ? That's good that you know that. You know it must be important if the devil has raised up against you to keep you from coming to Christ. That he'd take time from his busy schedule to keep you from coming to the Lord? This must be very important. Therefore, use that to cry the louder. If it wasn't important, I'll assure you this, you would not be hindered from coming to the Lord. That's why you're hindered, because your soul is at stake. And your soul is the most precious thing you possess. Are you blind this morning? You're in darkness and you feel it? Use that as a hope. Let it stir up a hope in you. He was a man who was blind too, but he received his sight. You say this morning, Bruce, you just don't realize how blinded my understanding is. No, I don't. I don't. But I know this much. After you've went through a long, dark night, you rejoice in the day. You rejoice in the day. And it may be dark now, but you'll rejoice when the Lord does give you light. Yes. Lastly is this. This man was a beggar. He was begging. Verse 46 tells us that. He sat by the highway side begging. He was a beggar. A man who had nothing. You wouldn't go to this man if you needed help, would you? He needed help himself. He's the type of fellow you avoided. Because every time you seen him, he was begging. He had nothing. He had no influence with people. You wouldn't get him to go plead your cause with anybody. He had no leverage in negotiation. He was a beggar. He was a poor man. He had nothing. That's why the poor in this world are often oppressed and neglected. They have no influence. They have nothing. But what a blessing it is to be a beggar. It's a blessing to be a beggar. In a sense, it was the greatest blessing that could ever happen to this man, that he was indeed a beggar. You remember the rich man who came to the Lord Jesus and said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And the Lord said, "Go sell everything you have, give to the poor, take up your cross and follow me." Oh, wouldn't it be blessed? Wouldn't it be a blessing to be rich? Wouldn't it be such a blessing to have everything you needed? If you wanted anything, you went and bought it. I can't imagine to be that rich, can you? Would you rather be that rich man who came to the Lord Jesus and was told to sell everything he had, and he went away from the Lord Jesus, grieved? Would you rather be that man? Or would you rather be this beggar? Wasn't it a blessing to be a beggar? Here was a man who knew he had nothing to lose and everything to gain by coming to the Lord. What a blessing it is to be a beggar. It's not really the giving up of things. That wasn't that rich man's problem. It wasn't really giving up of his riches. The Lord Jesus went ahead to say, "How hardly shall they who trust in riches." That was his problem, wasn't it? You know the whole problem with the rich man. He would not give up himself. That's the problem. That's the problem. Here was a beggar and he knew he had nothing. He had nothing to give up. But you know, in a way, it's just as difficult for a beggar to give himself up as it is for a rich man to give himself up. My son, give me. Now here's the Lord of glory. Here's the Lord of glory. I've always been amazed at this verse. I know we've let free will run us out of it. But here's what the Lord of glory says. My son, give me. The Lord don't need anything, does he? But here he is saying, give me something. Give me something. What is it? Give me thine heart. Ain't that amazing? And you know that's the most difficult thing you'll ever give up. It's the most difficult thing you'll ever give up. I was talking with a man just the other day, and he told me, he said, I pray all the time. He said, I cry, I beg the Lord for mercy. That's good in a way. That's good. We all come there. But you know, there's a negative aspect of that too. There are people who trust in their prayer. There are people who trust in their tears. Men have prayed themselves to hell. Men have wept themselves to hell. Here was a man who cried for mercy. Lord, thou son of David, be merciful to me. But that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. What does the Lord require of this man? I tell you what he did. He said there in verse 50, he cast away his garment and he rose and came to Jesus. What was in that garment? Commentators tells us that this was basically their living, their welfare was in this garment. They used it of a night to stay warm. It was a large garment. They sit down and bagged and it spread out around them. And what people give them, and they'd take it and tuck underneath that garment. They'd hide it. Because if people were coming by and they were going to bag from them, and they're sitting there with all these gifts, you know, around them, I ain't helping you, man. You've got everything in it. You got more than I've got. So they would take and hide it underneath this garment. And other baggers would steal it from them if they didn't hide it. So they used this garment to conceal their stuff. It was their security blanket. What's the first thing this man did when he came to Christ? He threw all that away. He threw his security blanket away. Everything he had, he did. He threw it away. And here's what it comes down to, dear soul, is this. It comes down to this. We must give ourselves to the Lord. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And tell what the scripture said about the early church. We hear these free willers, Armenians, whatever they are, talking about give your heart to Jesus. I don't mean that. I don't mean saying that. I don't mean doing that with the assent of the mind. When I talk about the heart, give me your heart, son. I'm talking about what we are, who we are. Yes. The heart. You know what the heart of something is. You cut into a watermelon. I love the heart of a watermelon. You get beyond all the seeds, and boy, the heart is the good part. It's the essential part. Here's what the Lord says. You give me yourself. You give me yourself. I told Joe coming down here this morning. Sometimes when you're off in some of these places, you run into some of these people who say, you know, I'm lost, but I've been seeking the Lord for 10 years. I have a hard time understanding that. I just do. You know, I really don't believe. I don't believe it. I've prayed and I've been praying, Bruce, for 10 years. The Lord saved me. I doubt that. Can you imagine this man standing up there in his anxious condition for 5 hours? And I'm going to tell those people this. You've got a problem. And I bet what your problem is, you're trusting in your seeking. And what you must do is get past that. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? These for sin cannot atone. Thou must save and thou alone. And here's what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. You come into Christ, then come and give yourself up to Him. You want him to speak to you and say, "What do you want, Glenn? What do you want from me?" You want him to talk to you and deal with you? Then you're going to have to come and give yourself up to him. If you don't, dear soul, I'm telling you this. If you don't come to the Lord Jesus and literally give yourself away to him, and I can't explain that. All I can do is tell you that. I've experienced it. I can't tell you how to do it. But if you don't come and give yourself to him, you'll never know him. He'll reject you. He'll refuse you. He will not reveal himself to you. You're going to have to come right to him and give yourself up to him. That's what this man did. He cast away that garment of security, cast away what he had hid. He threw it all away and came to the Lord Jesus and yielded himself up to him. "Lord, here I am. Here I am. Just like I am." And there's when the Lord spoke to him. And there's when he'll speak to you. But if you're going to stay way back over yonder with your little security blanket and keeping your things hid and keeping the doors of your heart slammed against him, then you're going to stay there. "But I'm crying," and cry your way right into hell. "But I'm calling for mercy," and call right into hell. There's a time to come and give yourself up to him. That's what I'm saying. If you've never done it, God help you to do it today. God help you to come to Jesus Christ and to God by him. And then when you do, you know what you'll say? "Now I can see. Now I see." And I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll follow him in the way. You'll follow him in the way. Gracious Father in heaven, oh, our wise God, our tender and merciful Father, you truly are our Father. When we think of our awful blindness and stupidity and how you gently and secretly brought us to yourself, looked upon us as we wandered in the darkness, and you put it in our hearts and drawed us to yourself and opened our eyes. Oh Lord, we bless you for doing this. Thank you for giving us eyes to see you, to see your glory, to see your saving attribute, to see your tender mercy. Thank you for giving us our sight. Thank you for the great privilege and honor and necessity of following you in the way. I pray you'll take this message, oh, especially this morning, to the poor lost, those who have no eyes of yet to see. Let this poor blind Bartimaeus encourage them to come to you for their sight. In our Lord Jesus' name, amen. Brother Glenn, would you come right where you are, dismiss us, and